Hi. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Highway Podcast, the fastest growing podcast in Southwest Missouri. Also, one of my buddies is like, it's the only podcast in Southwest Missouri. Yeah, no freaking kidding. That's the irony of it, clown.
Yeah, and that's also how we hold the title, probably.
Yeah, I will. What? We can hold the title if there were 1,000 down here.
Yeah, you're right, my bad.
Watch your poor attitude. Hear me?
Yeah.
Check myself.
Let's get everybody introduced. Starting off with the poor attitude, the wet blanket.
Mm-hmm.
She is the Excel to the acceleration, meaning Microsoft, not actually propelling anything forward. Did you get it? His Excel sheet.
Talk about those spreadsheets.
She's the complainer. She's the SME. I got your song wrong again.
Mm-hmm.
I do that every time.
It's perfect.
Dude, I know. And it's like, it's almost like subconsciously, it's on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we did, like, mine was the last one we just checked.
Ready?
Yeah. I can't stand waiting around to dance. Don't want to talk. Already know what I want. You got big plans, but you never take a chance. Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Dang, dude, nice.
So, would you guys agree, like, 60 seconds before that, I said, I always mess Smee's song up, and then I mess it up.
Yeah, I think you're just doing it on purpose.
Not on purpose, because then I have to, like, edit this stuff out, so I'd rather not, or you have to edit
it. Yeah, so it is on purpose, so that I have to do.
No, I wouldn't want to create more work for you.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. It's a nice summer day.
Cool day.
Cool summer day.
Post 4th July, post Independence Day, which we can talk about, I guess.
God bless.
Yeah.
Speaking of God bless, let's talk about the most blessed man in the room.
Yep.
Besides me.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only other man in here. Yeah,
that's right. Top two. We're top two.
One and two.
He's got tats. He's got a mustache with a soul
patch. He's got tats in a Hanes tank.
Hey, I was going to address that. He's got tats. Be quiet. He's got tats. He's got a mustache and a soul patch. He's got a $5 Hanes tank. It's the bird. Flatwood and I'm fishing. Hey, yo, is that Mexican OT? Don't tread on me because I got them bullets there. Change the weather. My ancestry gave me my skin and it's about to up his leather. I'm the type to be down for anything. I'm about to go rough for his. Yes, I talk shit about the devil, but no, I ain't any better. Right on. Lately, I've been thinking. Nice, dude.
I bet a lot of people are going to ask about who's singing that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of it, but I like it.
It's going to be the most streamed song on the season.
Who is it?
3 playlist.
Mexican OT.
Mexican OT?
Obviously.
Yeah.
Where did you hear that? Let's face it, that's not mainstream.
No, I can't really remember where I heard it.
Like at work when you were not working, you were just looking at songs?
Yeah, maybe so. Like, I just get on a little...
He just randomly types random words into the search bar on Spotify.
Well, yeah, I think so. Or, like, you know how you can look at the artist and then you scroll down and gives you more artists?
So, wait a minute. Oh, okay.
You know,
so you didn't know Mexican OT as the artist?
No, you can... Oh, okay. The genre...
Now, what genre?
Yeah, what genre?
What genre got you?
Mind your business.
What path took you to this?
Dude, it's been a while. I'm not sure, but I just get on a little spell.
Like, what do we think the name of the genre is? Because I got a name.
I'm going to say cowboy rap.
That's solid, maybe.
Cowboy rap.
Oh, I was thinking, like, old man in the South singing outside of a gas station.
Not bad.
What?
That's what I was thinking.
I don't think that's a genre.
You can't type that in there.
He's got his phone trying to type that.
Oh, man, it's out singing outside. I don't know how I came across it, but then after I heard him a couple times, then he did appear on the old JRE, Joe Rogan Experience.
Ah, okay. Is that where it came from, maybe?
No, I've heard him before that, and then I listened to his podcast with Joe Rogan.
Oh, he's got a podcast?
No, Joe Rogan.
Oh.
Inviting him on.
Oh, gotcha.
For that song, Cowboy Killer.
Oh. Okay.
So, but the reason why I brought it up this time is because I saw that
Because he's from Texas.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The segues are unbelievable.
And so there's a little rumor around saying there's a guy here from Texas. They say everything's bigger in Texas. His name got a big back on him.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. Oh, pause. Ryan Hutton.
Gorgeous segue.
Hey, see y'all from Texas, where we should ride in swangers and put diamonds in our necklace. Pour drink inside my lemonade till it look like a bitch. See, I come from the D where
so
we got
Texas.
Did I tell you guys that I'm from Texas?
I've heard it, I think.
In passing?
Yeah. From other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
casually.
I'm from there.
Mm-hmm. Nice, dude.
So, obviously, I know Mexican OT.
Yeah,
personally.
Yeah. You guys are...
We went to high school together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I definitely went to school in Texas.
That's true.
Definitely. All right. What's our topics?
I think you decide those.
I do.
Didn't you just let
I do.
Us know
I was just going to see what you were going to say.
Yeah,
last
Bart, minute. What do you think the topics are for today?
All right. So, I think that one of the topics is Independence Day.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
I think the other topic one of them is, would be, you guys both taking notes at the same damn time?
Well, I had an idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I guess if Smee was taking notes, the answer is yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know what the other topics are, but.
So yeah, definitely Independence Day. And I have an idea that I'm going to run by you guys. Probably going to end up doing it for Veterans Day because I didn't get to it. And it didn't come to me until after 4th of July. So I'm running it by it. But yeah, Independence Day. So today technically is July 6th. We don't know when it's... I say technically, Smee, because I don't know when this is going to drop. So it could be August and they're like, oh, it's not July 6th. So here it's July 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, how was your 4th? We got some pictures of you shirtless shooting off some fireworks. One of them looked like a floppy, what was it, Roman candle?
Yeah.
Like a little gun sparkler.
So the gun sparkler, he was sideways holding the gun sparkler for you.
Yeah.
You were a gangster, the gun sparkler?
Yeah.
And then the other thing was essentially a fountain on like a spring that you kind of just like whipped around and just like shot sparks out.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a Roman candle.
No, it wasn't like doing the poof, poof. It was just like continual shower of sparks.
Okay.
Yeah. On a spring that you just whirled around.
With the kiddos.
With the kids.
Yeah. 360 sparkler.
Pretty dope.
How'd that go?
Went well. The springs were something new. I was kind of curious on how that was going to go with kiddos.
Okay.
Originally, when we bought them, I was thinking that they were Roman candles. I just don't know where those are going.
Yeah, they were just going to be
springs,
shooting.
Dude, yeah. So I'm like, oh.
When I heard it was a spring-loaded Roman candle, I thought, there's no way, right?
Yeah,
but then I'm thinking, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe so.
Hey, didn't you want to do something with those springs? Like, you're going to repurpose the springs?
Yeah, I wanted... I mean, I haven't had a full idea of what you wanted to use them.
What do you want to use them for, but... What was your thoughts?
So there's a couple. One of them was for, like... Actually, probably a decent purpose. You can probably use them for closing doors. Just make a little bracket and hook it on there, bend the metal around, have a spring door.
It was that powerful to close the door?
Oh, yeah, dude. Those things were like a foot long.
Okay.
And so I feel like it would have been all right for that. And the other one, I was also thinking about how I could make a little gadget to shoot things.
Okay. Okay. Just making sure.
And so I...
Smee and I are having a conversation in the background.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about myself.
Does he listen or does he just keep talking to himself?
I have a hard enough time staying focused anyways. The two out of three people are talking to each other.
Ask you a question and then we carry on the conversation.
So it just throws me for a fucking loop, guys. And so here I am.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so that was my 4th of July.
Okay. So ours, we were in Jefferson City at a hotel, and we watched fireworks in a hotel room through the window, but it was like front row seats.
Yeah, it was a good angle of the fireworks over the Capitol. So
yeah, it was nice. Pretty okay. cool.
Yeah, you didn't have to deal with the crowds or the
heat. AC. Outside, in fact, I was laying in bed for a short period of time watching the fireworks, and then decided to get up and get in a chair. You know, big move.
Big move for the country.
I can't take this laying down. I got to get up.
Dude, that's probably the best way to go, really.
Yeah, it was nice. Because then, I don't know, 9 seconds after they were done, I was asleep.
Yeah, we just, yeah.
Yeah, you just rolled back over.
Yeah, I just went right back to sleep. Mm-hmm. I did fall asleep before that, before dark. So here's a question for you guys. What does the 4th of July mean to you? It can be deep, not deep. You know, what do you think?
Well, obviously, you know, Independence Day, right?
Right.
In the country itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, in my eyes, we'll just narrow it down to old bird's eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the country comes together for one cause.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not bickering about left, we're not bickering about right, or all these problems. It's like 4th of July weekend. It's about one thing, and it's about blowing shit up.
Yeah.
And so, we all got the common goal, and we want to make as much explosion as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I like the community and the bond that it brings on that weekend. So,
yeah, that's, I'll go, so can I go next?
Yeah.
That was mine, unity.
Yeah.
And pride. If I had to say two words, unity and pride.
Yeah.
So, obviously, this year is an election year, so you guys know how that stuff goes, right? Everything's polarized or whatever. But yeah, for that one day, that one weekend, I don't care what your political affiliation is. Everybody's an American.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's the way it should be the entire time.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I think that kind of shows what we could be if we wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if we stop letting other things affect the way that we feel about the country. Because
right.
if we can do it on demand for a couple days, why can't we just continuously live that kind of
right.
thought?
Yeah. I was going to say, and think about how much crazy better the place would be if we just all had the mindset of 4th of July week.
Yeah, I agree. Smee?
So I think for me, I would agree with those statements. I think that for me, it's a reminder of, you know, I'm not super familiar with other countries and their holidays or traditions, but
they're not as good as ours.
Okay.
I did the research.
Yeah. So, but American I would assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't know that a lot of them have kind of that date mm-hmm. of like creation. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, we are, America's still a fairly young country, but we have that date that said this day stands for what we believe in. So I don't know if there's other countries across the world that say, you know, August 14th is what we celebrate, what it means to be a Canadian or something, or what it means to be from Mexico. Like, I don't know that they have those.
They definitely have Mexican Independence
Day.
Okay, well, Mexican Independence Day. Okay, so like England, you know, do they have an Independence Day? Because they just kind of evolved into the British Empire.
Yeah. I think that's what makes like Mexico and us special, quote unquote, is that we, you know, broke away and became our own country versus evolved into a country.
Yeah, so, like, when you think of, like, Italy and, like, places that are just, like...
Italia.
Places that have just kind of evolved and stemmed from, you know, ancient empires and mm-hmm. things like that. There's no really... They say this is where we celebrate what we as a country think or believe in. You know, they may have like specific holidays to them, but I'm not familiar with them. So I think that's unique to us because A, we are a young country, and we have that date to reflect upon. And I think, yeah, I think it is a good, whatever America means to you, I think it is a good day to reflect and to celebrate that.
That's good. I think we shift to what it means to us for that day. And I think you're right. My thing is pride and then blowing stuff up, right? Cause that like, nothing's more American than that. In fact, we were talking about today, what was it? What's a staple American thing? And we drove by, what was it, a liquor store firewall, was it?
Yeah, so we were thinking of, like, when you think of different countries, like, what kind of store comes to mind? Or, like, you know, industry, if you will. Like, store, shopping industry, what does it mean? So, like, when I think of France, I think of fashion and, you know, high-end clothing.
Art. Sophisticated.
Yeah, and so whenever we were driving past this particular place, I was like,
Oklahoma, right? Or was it Missouri?
It was in Missouri. And it was a full-time, year-long, year-round liquor store and fireworks. Black Hat fireworks, so high-end stuff.
Yeah.
And so... So I think that was I wonder what, you know, other countries... you think of other countries, whenever you think of like shops and specific like kind of trades or industry for their country.
Do you think there's an arrogance that comes with being an American?
Yeah,
like for sure. Other people go, oh, those guys are just arrogant animals. Do you think that's it? Or do we perceive ourselves that way because we kind of want to be perceived that way? What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's both. I think that we do. I think we are perceived that way, but I think that we also, a part of our identity or the reason why we have 4th of July and we have that is because like, we take pride, and that is part of, like I said, whatever American means to you, part of your fiber as an American is to, I wouldn't say resist, but like revolt and like be part of change and kind of be that independent and that free spirit. So I think that we, part of our identity is to be independent and unique and a little bit abrasive.
Yeah.
A little what?
Abrasive.
Oh, yeah, we're very abrasive.
So I think that's just part of your identity, whether you are, whatever side of the aisle you're on, that is a core thread, that you are outspoken and you believe you speak your mind and you stand your ground.
Do you think that it's kind of like bred into us to always resist, which is like, so I would say for our probably beliefs, it's always to like resist against the government, or not even resist, question.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we question everything.
Yeah,
and then you know, if you look at the opposite side, and I'm just gonna hate to defend them, but you look at like protests and stuff, which I disagree with 90% of, probably 95% of them. But isn't that kind of ingrained into us to always protest something? Mm-hmm. Or you know, I don't know if other countries do that as much as we do. But
yeah, I think that there was like a quote, and I don't remember who said it, but there was one thing that was like, I may not always agree with you, but I defend your right to say it. And I think that's kind of in the American spirit, is that I might not always feel passionate to join the protest or whatever, but I believe you, like the inherent fact that we are allowed to disagree with each other and our government is American.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. I like the way you put that.
Yeah. And I think from the law enforcement perspective is you do have to respect that, you know, obviously there's people that don't like cops, right? And when I say protest, like that's where my mind automatically goes, is people protesting us. But at the same time, here we are protecting their right to do that. And I think that we should,
mm-hmm.
Even though I disagree with it. And I think that it's based off of a false narrative.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think, I don't know, protests nowadays, I think, are a little bit different than what they really are.
They're violent.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I don't like the whole looting, you know, violent stuff.
I would classify that as
a riot.
Civil. I mean, I hate to say, but God forbid, we say riot. People, civil unrest. Now you're rioting.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And you're all out rioting.
You know, they mark it under protest.
Yeah,
which I can get behind. I like, you know, kind of what we just talked about, the protest. They go out and display what their thoughts are,
mm-hmm.
without criminal actions. Like, I mean, because here's the deal. Like, it's getting old, but it's one of those things that protesting, in my eyes, is, hey, go for it. Stand on what you believe. But when you start taking into account, you know, other people's businesses, they also, I feel like it's a God-given right for them to be able to run their own business and to defend it as well.
Correct.
So it's like...
That's where I think you cross the line. Listen, you can protest. Like, so we'll even mark like routes for you to take to protest and support that. Block the roads so that they can do it. But when you start blocking the roads and then people's ability to go to work and then, damaging stuff, we've moved beyond the American idea of protesting.
Right. And it's getting to the point where you got to actually do something because it is causing, you know, safety problems.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. That's kind of where I stand with it.
Okay. So we think, I'm going to segue. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're supposed to say when you're segueing, but I'm going to do it.
I think that's part of our charm, is that we make sure it's known.
Yeah, here we go. I'm going to segue this. So, you know, 4th of July fireworks with a hot explosions burning. That burning.
That burn.
Keyword burn.
Jot that down.
So what I want to talk about this one is burn out.
Oh.
Burn out.
Oh.
You see what I did?
It's not lit.
That's true. It is burnt out. So the reason I want to talk about burnout is last month I did the first presentation called Cop Out, which I think I've talked about a few times on here. And it's about law enforcement burnout. And I think that can be translated really into any sort of burnout, any profession. Because I think where we're at as a country and as professionals, people are just tired and wore out. And I think the COVID thing had a lot to do with that. People just got completely burnt out.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about burnout in law enforcement. One of the reasons, too, is because I've had a few guys reach out to me and say that they're reaching burnout. And these guys are 2, 3, 5 years on. Of a 30-year career, right?
Yeah, it's rough.
So it was a couple weeks ago I did it in North Dakota. Got a lot of really good feedback on that. So some of the stats and stuff I want to talk about are from this presentation. Obviously, I'm not going to talk about the entire presentation because it's like, 3 hours, I think is what it came out to. So we put out some polls addressing officer burnout. And just to kind of see what guys were saying. So just kind of give you an idea. So there were some polling done on burnout, so non-law enforcement. So this is just standard workers, right? So
insurance. Is it just like companies. Based off an age group?
So this wasn't a specific age group. This was just in general. It was a Gallup poll on employee burnout. And what they found was that 59% of working individuals claimed they are currently or have at some point in their lives been burned out with work. Okay, so 59% was what I would say would be the average rate right now.
Yeah.
So when we put out the poll to our followers on social media, and I think we got, 200, 300 responses somewhere in there. I don't know if you checked it. I've checked it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was like 300-ish somewhere in there. And what the copper said was 96% of them have either been burned out or are currently burned out in our profession. And I think that would probably also translate into military individuals, professionals, right? Because I think we work very closely and are very closely related. So I guess my question is to you guys, have you ever been burned out in your profession and why do you think that is? And then I got some other stuff I want to talk about, some statistics, some facts, but I want to get your opinion on that. So, Smee, you were in the medical field.
Yeah, I worked in healthcare. During COVID. I think that was a very big time for burnout amongst many different types of professionals in the medical field. In healthcare. So yeah.
Okay.
What caused burnout?
Are you blaming it on, I don't want to say blame, that sounds bad, but are you saying that was mainly because of COVID?
I'm saying that COVID put an extra amount of pressure on an already very broken system.
Okay.
So I would say that, during that time, yes, you had a lot of different directives coming from a lot of different places. So you had like CDC and those regulations that you had to follow. And then you had insurance companies also dictating what you should and shouldn't do in regards to COVID treatment. And I think that with all of those people trying to take control of the reins, it left most healthcare providers scrambling and doing things that weren't really necessary in my mind for the well-being of the society or the patients.
Or the worker?
Or the worker, yes. Or the individual that was caring for that they were too busy trying to meet different criteria for all of these different overseeing bodies that, again, oversee and manipulate healthcare.
So basically your workload increased.
Whatever
reasons.
Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, their workload increased, and then the public is not, we're not a very preventative care society, so they don't really know what's going on with them on a good day. And so you introduce a new virus. And so people that aren't familiar with their body, aren't familiar with maybe what they have going on in the first, I mean, all of the pandemics and epidemics that have come before in terms of tuberculosis have, like, things like that have had a learning curve. So healthcare's had to adapt, but society, I think, because of how fast news is or whatever, like, was just scared. So they were just running to healthcare.
Me a question. Yeah. Okay. This is like 27 minutes. I was like, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Did I answer your question?
Yes. I got burned out.
I'm not sure if you did.
Okay. I'm honestly just looking at myself.
Yeah. I'm watching myself on this. I like do a little camera. I like focus back in. I'm like, oh gosh, you're still going.
I'm like, tuberculosis.
Yeah. Where are we going?
No, but I do get it. It makes sense.
Overwork slash not taking care of overwork, unrealistic expectations, and not healthy coping strategies. Okay. Yeah. Should I give you the definition of burnout real quick before we start going too deep?
I guess maybe you should have done that before you asked me.
Well, I was, yeah, apparently I should have because you went off on something that, geez. All right. So according to the World Health Organization, which a lot of people go, oh, yeah, because they were big into this whole game, right? Mm-hmm. So burnout is a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed.
Mm.
That's the official definition. So
that's fitting.
Yeah, you look at like medical field, law enforcement, you know, the military. I think you're constantly under stress. Those are pretty unique professions.
Yeah.
So I think that, from my opinion, and just the research that I've done, is like self-care, mm-hmm. right? So you're properly managing that stress. Because everybody's going to get stressed, is that right? I mean, right. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
So I think it is, you know, taking care of yourself in certain situations.
Right.
And one of the big indicators that you're reaching burnout is cynicism, being cynical. So basically like losing trust in people, losing trust in the world, losing trust in the government, blah, 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 blah. And I can say, I can safely say that.
First of all, I don't think not trusting the government.
I was saying, burnout, Bubba.
Well, yeah. I think it's, but
your institutions.
Wouldn't you agree that it has gotten worse?
Right.
Right. I mean, I think that, yeah, we always question the government, but.
Do you think so, though, or we're just coming to an age where we just know more now?
Probably a little bit of both.
And the knowledge of everything is on the internet.
Yeah.
So I think we're exposed to it a lot more.
Yeah. I think there's more information out there. Then, of course, you know, you got to think about what information are you being exposed to, and is it correct?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Right, because how much stuff do we see that is, it turns out, like, oh, that's not accurate.
Which, that's an added stressor as well.
Yeah. You're just trying to scroll through Facebook. You're not trying to write a thesis piece, like, paper and check your sources. Yeah.
Yeah. Then, yeah, you just take all the information, which is, I would say, information overload.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said it the other day to me, which was, like, overload paralysis, where you just have so much information, you don't even know what to do with it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you just either do nothing or you perceive everything or certain things that align with your beliefs to be true, which I think contributes to that.
Yeah.
So number two, as far as indicators of burnout, is exhaustion. And this one is overwork is celebrated. But what you get, I think you guys would agree with that, right? Constantly being on, constantly working. But when we look at the research on that, if you reach about 50 hours a week, your job performance suffers significantly.
Right.
And I think with us, and I'll just speak for me specifically this past week, what was it, 76 hours I told you?
Mm-hmm.
So 76 hours in a 5-day work period. You know, I think we could classify that as exhaustion.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are some of the indicators that you're being burnt out. And I think for me, I never thought that I would reach that because I love my profession. And I never thought that I would reach that point of not loving it.
Yeah.
Right? So then I one day walked into work and I was thinking, yeah, I don't think I like this anymore. So that's where it got real for me is when I went from this is all I ever wanted to do to I don't think I want to do this at all.
Right.
So anyway, that's where kind of this whole topic information came from and the research that I did on that. So the big thing, the big question is how to manage that. First off, accept that you're going to have the stressors, but how can we manage them? So how can you manage? How do you manage stressors? And I know, like, Look at him, Bert. And I know that maybe your job isn't like as stressful as previous times of your life.
Yeah.
But speaking off mic, I would say that there's time probably right now where you're burned out. You don't want to go to work.
Oh yeah.
And I think that is classic burnout, not wanting to be there. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think in the military, how I kind of got through that burnout, which ultimately, the reason why I got out is because I was tired of it. I was
tired of just the job, or?
Just, so, it's kind of, and I think you're going to be able to relate to this, when I was in, it was just, you know, when they're saying the shit rolls downhill, I was downhill.
Yeah.
I was on that. That was rolling on top of me.
You're looking at him.
I was going to say that was, I was just catching it, whether it was small, whether it was big, whether it was, you know,
yeah,
not, you know, it was just always consistent. So I just got tired of it. And I remember the day that I was doing an advanced swim qual. And I just remember it was like yesterday when I decided, because I was doing an advanced swim qual to put my package in to go to a selection process. I got out of my swim pool, my knees were, like, locked up, and the pool was heated. My knees were locked up, kind of, like, just real, I was just not in good shape after the swim pool, and I was actually training for it. It's just my joints.
Yeah.
And I just, finally, I remember, like, because we had to go turn in our time or whatever and tell our, you know, gunny that was holding the clipboard, and I just remember looking at him, like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done.
And I think that's it. Yeah, you hit that mental wall, and you say, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm just done. And so, not but, you know, of course, the getting out process took me a little bit, but I was out.
Yeah, because you had to stay in for X amount of, like, your contract, or X amount of years.
Yeah, and so I had to have this package complete and all that stuff and turned in so that I can go to this course selection process. And I'm done. I'm not doing it. And I remember it to this day, very clear. Looking at the gun, he's sitting there by the pool. I'm like, don't even jot it down. Saying I passed this because I'm done.
Yeah.
And so I just went, I got my basic swim qual because obviously if you advance, you get your advanced swim qual, you get it your basic.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, jot me down for whatever. I'm done because I'm getting out. And so, but yeah, it was just that the same stuff every single day. You know, I got in late. So at that time I was a sergeant at 25.
Which is, that's pretty young, right?
And
I don't know.
It was an old, I was older. So I got in when I was 21. So it got me 4 years to be a sergeant. And about that 4 year mark, that's about the time where I was like, I'm done. And 25-ish, you know, sergeant, kind of older. And I was just
it is
for that. Because, I mean, you get guys coming in at 18, 19. They're sergeants in that same MOS, they're sergeants, you know, at 22-ish, 23-ish, 4.
Okay.
So I was a little older, but I just got tired of getting treated like, you know, I got tired of the leadership treating me like I didn't know how to run business.
That's a good one.
And at the point, I got to the point where I was like, why are you promoting me if you're not, you know, if you don't think I can run this show? And so I had a little bit of a problem. Not so much my direct leadership, but like leadership a little higher than them, like company treat you like garbage, like you're a sergeant who doesn't know anything. And I'm like, why did you promote me?
Right.
Why am I here? I might as well just be, you know, a Lance Cooley still sitting in the barracks, just, you know, goofing off.
Right.
So I just got tired of it, and I knew that I either had to invest my whole life since I was a little older, into this or get out now, because I couldn't do another another 4 year contract and then turn around and be like, I don't want to do this anymore, because I just put 10 years in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
there's a point where you're in.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I was going to re-up and stay in for, you know, retirement, or I needed to get out now.
Yeah.
Because there's no in between for me. It was just like, I couldn't get out at 10. And then, you know, I'm 30-something years old after 10 years, and then I'd be like, well, I'll go out to the civilian world and be like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So
you hit your burnout 5 years?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was done.
So that's interesting, because most burnout happens between 3 and 5 years.
Yeah. I would say I hit it.
And I have a theory on that.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about my theory?
You want to hear your third? I also have the top five things that cause burnout. I was kind of seeing if you what you guys would say before I gave them to you, and you guys have hit several of these.
Nice.
Do you want me to give those to you? Why don't you go ahead and respond to his, and I'll give you the top five reasons, according to University of California, or Berkeley, California, what causes burnout.
Okay. So I think the 3 to 5 year time frame is because that is when the rose cover or colored glasses come off about your chosen profession or your so-called dream that you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But you also haven't developed coping mechanisms to deal with the burnout yet and deal with the stressors of the role or the job that you have.
Yeah, I think that's very good.
I think that it takes a... Because I was thinking about my timeline, you know, and my process. And I would say I remember kind of at that 5 year, you know, 3 to 5 year mark, being a little, like, disenchanted with my path. But...
Now you're working for the fastest growing podcast.
Yeah,
right.
I didn't ultimately leave healthcare until like 12 years into the industry. And so I think that, but I remember going through that process of like, is this really what I want to keep doing? Or do I want to, you know, just get out now and do something else? But then I kept going and then ultimately COVID happened. And I was, you know, I wasn't at the bottom of the hill. I was... I was the stupid middle manager at the middle of the hill, trying to like
balance
to catch the shit that's rolling down and like essentially somewhat protect my people below me.
Right.
And I think it was COVID, obviously, that showed me that the patients and the coworkers weren't necessarily considered. In our decision-making process, it was the payer, which in most healthcare systems is CMS.
The payer,
the insurance companies, and that is Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. Right. So the government is usually 60-70% of any healthcare structure is financed by CMS. So I became burnout with it, if you will, about trying to fight this system that wasn't even considering patients and or...
Yeah.
Coworkers, in regards to their plans for COVID. So.
Okay, so let's talk about the top five things that cause burnout in the workplace. Number one, unsustainable workload, which I think went to that with her really intense increase in patients, I guess we'll call them that. Number two, and Bert hit this one, perceived lack of control, i.e. autonomy. So you're talking about, you know, your uppers or the upper echelon basically making all the decisions, even though you're in a position where you can make those decisions, mm-hmm. but they're making the decisions on your behalf and it's making you enforce it.
Yeah.
Right? So that lack of autonomy. Number three, insufficient rewards or lack of recognition. So meaning you're not recognized for the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
Number four, perceived lack of support. And by lack of support, that means from your organization or people above you. And then number five is perceived lack of fairness. Mm-hmm. And I think number five is pretty important because most people just are cool with about anything as long as it is fair.
Right.
Right. So if you dump a pile of shit on me and I look across the table and everybody's got a pile of shit on them, well, that's okay because we're all in the same boat. But if you dump a pile of shit on me and then three guys next to me have no shit, that's where it's unfair.
Yeah, I get that. I kind of, we'll just say even like in, you know, military world, so like a lot of like your workload stuff goes to your, they put it on the better squad. So it's like you got rewarded
for being good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not drafts everywhere.
We call it working your best horses to death.
And so that's kind of, I think that was another, because we had, so when I didn't become squad leader, when I was a team leader, our squad was pretty stacked with like older dudes. You had myself, we had a sergeant that was very knowledgeable. So our squad had to do a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just got to the point where like, you're like, dude, like, I know, like, I get it. we're okay at this. Yeah. We get it. But we're tired of having to do this.
Yeah.
All the time. So I kind of get that, like, the fairness wasn't, it didn't seem fair for
right.
being, you know, for us being good at it.
Right. And I think we, as, again, I'll use my profession, is we figure out the guys that know what they're doing and the guys that are going to get stuff done. And then let's say that's 2 out of 20 people.
Yeah.
Right. And then we will constantly put more and more on those 2 guys or gals, whoever it is. And then the other 18 don't get the extra work.
Right.
And I'll use, you know, my experience is when I was full time on the road, every single guy that was out just killing it, working their hind end off, got every little extra detail.
Yeah.
You know, you had to do honor guard, and then you had to go to this detail, and then you had to go to that detail. When the guy next to you, or the guy in your on your shift, in your zone, whatever it is, who doesn't do anything, who doesn't even, like, produce, if you will, got nothing.
Yeah.
So then you go, well, why am I working so hard when I'm getting extra work, when this dude, who does nothing, should be doing the extra work?
Yeah.
And I think that's where it comes in, is that lack of fairness.
Right.
Yeah, and I would be interested in seeing, like, of these top, like, the top 5 items, I would venture to say that they are all, like, interrelated, if not, like, cyclical.
Oh, they're absolutely related.
So, like, the lack of fairness, so that leads to maybe a perceived or a greater sense of workload. And then, you know, maybe you're losing sight of some of your core things, so you feel like you're losing, like, autonomy, and then you're not getting rewarded for doing the extra work that you're doing. And then ultimately, when it's a cycle, it seems like.
Right. Right.
So I don't know what comes first out of that, related somehow, because I would always tell my groups of nurses or RTs or whoever I was working with, like, if you figure out how to make it work, this workload or this, you know, extra whatever you're given, then nothing's going to change. Like, they're going to just say they've got it and they're going to keep rolling unless, like.
Yeah. Once you figure out how to carry that lift. So let's say it's, you know, of simpler terms, poundage. Once you can lift 300 pounds, they're never going to say, okay, let's take that away from you and only give you 200 pounds. Right.
Until you start cracking under the pressure and missing things, then you're going to be back under the target again.
Well, yeah. Then you come back to that, micromanaging,
the lack of autonomy.
Yeah, lack of autonomy. Mm-hmm. And then, we got to make the decisions for them. Well, no, you've just given me too much work to get done in the amount of time you give me to do it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So those are things that cause it. And I can definitely say that I met that overwork. And then we had a change in leadership. And I went from, be very delicate how I say this, I went from someone who believed in work-life balance, that family was probably the most important thing, then work was somewhere on the list, right? So a lot of people say, well, you know, you're a trooper first, then you're this, this, and this. And I would disagree with that, you know, and that was my perception as a younger officer, was I was a cop first, and then all these things fell in behind it. And I think the key is moving that professional identity down to top 10, but definitely not top 3, probably not top 5, because you have to have everything else in check and balanced out before you can be successful at work.
So you're saying this is kind of how you deal with burnout?
So this is your response?
This is my response, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I didn't figure it out myself. I'm not going to say, oh, I got this. But looking at some research and stuff, like, gosh, I was doing it completely backwards. And looking at a lot of young cops, they do it backwards too. Because they say, well, I'll just work extremely hard and they'll recognize my efforts and I'll be rewarded for that.
Yeah.
Well, you are rewarded, but typically it's with more work and very little actual recognition. So look at like a promotional process, right? So your promotional process, at least in my profession, has nothing to do with how hard you work.
Right.
It's based off of like a test score. It's based off of an interview. And that's pretty much it. There's a few other factors in there, but those are the main ones.
Yeah.
So you could go out and arrest 1,000 bad guys a year. Well, that doesn't matter. As long as you come in and score well on this test, you're going to go to the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then where it really becomes twisted is the guys that don't do anything have time to study for the test, and the guys that are working their ass off don't have time, then will typically score lower, even though those are your better leaders. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. The book, I think I've talked about a few times on this epi, or I'm sorry, on this potty, It's Your Ship by Mike Abershoff, who was a captain in the Navy of the USS Benfold. And he has a really good quote here. And it says, work-life balance must be like a reservoir. You can drain it, but it needs filled back up. So the theory is the constant demands, constant professional demands, are what drains your bathtub. And if you're not putting water in the bathtub, it's going to run dry. And the things that you're putting into the bathtub are recognition from your employer, are your friends, are your family, all these other things that fill your cup, if you will. And when we put the profession number one, and then family, friends, other things, self-care, way down at the bottom of the list, we're draining it faster than we fill it back up.
Yeah.
Right? Because anytime work calls, well, I'll leave my family to go to work. Well, I need my family to help recharge me first.
Right.
So, anyway, so I have some top five things that I came up with that helped me. Should I say that? Shouldn't say helped.
I mean, it's a continuous process.
Right, so. Yeah. Well, I don't mean health as in I'm done. I'm all set up.
He's all unburned out.
I'm done. So my top five things were, number one, take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing was, I put myself in that situation, right? So I worked hard enough to where I had this constant load of pressure and work, but it was my own doing.
Yeah.
And now I'm not saying go be lazy. What I'm saying is take responsibility for your part in whatever it is, whatever your problem is. And mine was being burned out.
Yeah.
And until we take responsibility for our part in that, I don't think we can begin to fix the problems, because what we do is we start pointing at other people, which is probably what creates that cynicism, because nobody else is, well, they're not helping me. So then we start to distrust that person, and we become cynical towards them or to people in general. So when I figured out that I was the one constantly working, I was the one never turned off, I wasn't going to fix anything. So when I realized that I was part of that problem, that's where like things began to kind of shift for me.
Bird? Yeah, I think that, I mean, pretty much kind of what you're saying, I think the number one step for myself is recognizing it. Recognizing that, dang, dude, this sucks. Well, I'll even like dull it down to like a cabinet building. Like, I build cabinets every single day. It gets old. But recognizing that, like, dude, this is starting to suck. Now I can kind of shift my focus on something that still gets the job done, but I think of it of a different way to, like, say, build a hood. Or, you know, a stove hood or whatever it may be.
Or a cutting board out of walnut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've shifted my focus, kind of like changed my sight picture, sight alignment.
Ooh, look at that.
I'll change it up, but it's overall still benefiting my expertise and my knowledge of that.
Okay, so you're still growing.
Still growing.
Okay.
Like, so you have a goal right here. The goal is to be the best at building cabinets.
Yeah.
But you kind of shift around. You're still getting to that point of expert, you know, being an expert at building cabinets, but you're shifting your focus on something else, like saying, you know, different ways to build a cabinet or different style of doors.
Kind of like trying to find ways to kind of respark
your interest. I do love woodwork, but building cabinets, to me,
yeah, it's monotonous.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It's like almost not even woodworking anymore.
Yeah.
When people would look at it and be like, dang, that's some good woodwork.
Yeah.
To me, that's not woodwork.
It's not challenging.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of shifted to where I can realign my focus on being challenged, but still overall kind of going down towards the goal of being a good cabinet maker.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a weird way of putting that.
No, I would agree with you 100%, because for me, mine was like arresting drunks, right? And that's all that it is. Boom. Drunk. And there's a point where you go, God, I've seen about every scenario imaginable, right? And humans never disappoint. They always come up with some freaking weird new thing, right? But at the end of the day, you're drunk, you're driving, I arrest you, we go to court.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, oh my God, I'm not challenged anymore. And I'm not saying like placing someone under arrest isn't challenging,
But it was to the point where it was just monotonous, the same thing over and over and over. So I think I didn't burn out until about 12 years, maybe even 13 years on. But I think I was shielded a little more from that because I switched agencies.
Yeah.
So if I would have stayed at my first agency, I stayed there about 4 years, I think, in my second agency, a year-ish, maybe under just under a year. And then my third agency, where I am now, I was on the road for 3 years, and then I went to my specialist position I am now. So I kind of moved around.
Right.
So I basically reset that challenge.
Right.
And then
you change your side picture, side line.
There you go, side picture, side line,
right, dude.
I like that. Yeah,
it's me. You know what we're talking about here?
It's me. She has no idea.
Yeah,
about
build the castle.
Gaming? Is it a gaming?
You got to build the castle. It's pistol talk.
Okay.
You got to build.
I didn't know if it was a Call of Duty reference or something. No.
Well, I mean,
I guess,
it could be.
But I would say more real life.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what hit me is I was where I am now. Sorry, for about 4 years, 5 years. That's where I went. Okay, I'm burnt.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Burn,
yeah. So maybe that's the key too, is challenging different things. Because I've even had that conversation with my supervisors of, I'm just not challenged. I don't feel challenged anymore.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's probably where the podcast came from, and then the side business came from. All these other different challenges that I needed, because my work wasn't challenging me anymore.
Right.
And I don't mean, again, I'm not trying to say, oh, I had it figured out.
It's just your drive to want to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you reach a point where, to use your analogy, you've made the same cabinet. It's beautiful. It's great work, but it's the same thing over and over.
Right.
Right. So I'd say change that up just a little bit, but take responsibility for what you're striving for.
Right.
Right. All right. Number two, take care of yourself.
Ooh,
is this principle number two or like?
Number two on his list.
Yeah. Number two for me on what I did or am doing to try to combat burnout.
I'm just taking notes, so I just want to be clear.
Yeah, you should be taking notes. By the way, I'm charging you for this.
Yeah.
So
I get this for free.
Under number two, taking care of yourself, is a couple different subcategories. So number one is take care of yourself mentally, right, between the years.
Yeah, big time.
And in my profession, we look at, you know, people, oh, it's a dangerous job. You can be shot at any moment. That's true, right? But if you look at the amount of cops who are shot and killed and compare that to the amount of cops who commit suicide, so I would say that is a mental struggle,
yeah,
right? You're almost three times as likely to commit suicide than to be shot,
right?
Which tells me we have a mental problem, a mental health problem. I shouldn't say mental. I mean, I guess probably everybody in this room has a mental problem, but you know what I mean?
Are we transitioning to mental health?
No, God.
Are we talking about this?
Please don't go back to mental or health anything, for the love of God.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we have to address that first. And with us, there's a stigma and mental health being weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't believe this guy can't even handle it because he's mentally weak.
Yeah.
He can't handle this stuff. And I think we've got to get rid of that thought process that you're mentally weak. Because I think that's where you build your core, you build your foundation, is being mentally tough. And I know the military has a lot of suicides as well.
Yeah.
And once again, a very manly, hardcore profession where reaching...
Dude, you're such a man.
Dude, you're badass. Look at him titty bounce.
Baby.
He's freaking peck bouncing.
Right,
and his freaking Hanes shirt.
Look at his tan,
too. He's got a good tan.
I've been working on it.
Dude. So, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you reach out as a, you know, you're in the Marine Corps, and I am struggling mentally, I mean, how would that have been perceived? No, maybe by you differently, but by the greater majority.
Yeah, it's just, they don't, one, if you even tell anybody and they don't take it wrong, they don't take it serious.
Yeah.
Like, but two, for the most part, they're not even, it's the whole manly concept of being mentally weak or whatever it is, you know, that's old news. I mean, that's old school.
Yeah.
That's old times. But, you know, I agree. I think that's a stereotype that's got to change.
So have we talked about on here or whatever, why we think that like mental health is such a big, it's more of a topic now than maybe it used to be, or maybe more of an issue now than it was perceived previously, or have we talked about that?
Like, as to why we think it's a bigger...
Yeah.
I think it's probably always been the same. I think now maybe we have better data, better research on that.
Yeah. So my theory, just from a societal standpoint, and again, there's no, I have no proof, but I think that as a country, as a society, we previously had a pretty strong kind of like a religious or faith-based society.
Okay.
And I would argue that that's not as much the case now, whatever the religion or faith base is, pick your denomination. But I think that there are very key points that cross that. So I think that people use religion, use spirituality or whatever their choice of religion is to cope with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the society has evolved and changed and people have gotten away from having more of a religious foundation, they've not learned or explored mental health coping mechanisms to replace those, because everybody needs something to lean on. And I just think for the last, for the last probably 100 years or so, it was always faith-based, and it's not necessarily that as much anymore as it used to be.
Okay. And I think there's some truth to that. Yeah. I would say, looking at myself, I've transitioned from, being raised in a very Christian home to now not so much. And I don't mean being raised anymore, but I don't go to church like I did, mm-hmm. right? I don't have that that foundation or something to lean on like I did. So, so is there something else that you can use to cope? And of course, we're talking about mentally. We're going to get into some other stuff here in just a second. I think so. So for me, it was reading. I never read ever until I got out of college, which, number one, says something about our educational system.
Right.
And I graduated with a degree.
Yeah, yeah, your degree, brother.
I got a piece of paper that's saying I did something right.
Yeah, which is wild.
Yeah, which is right? Absolutely insane.
That is wild.
Yeah, this guy's pretty sharp. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. He can't read. I guess I should clarify. I can read. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to. Yeah. So for me to dive into these books and stuff of all these different ideas, it really blew my mind and opened up this entirely new world of knowledge and of different views. Because I was raised on one view, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't our view, it was wrong.
Right.
And now I'm going, oh, wow, there's all these different ways to look at stuff or different, even beliefs. There's different religions,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's a whole nother topic in itself, which one is correct or not correct or whatever. But yeah, I would agree with Smee. I think there's some issues there.
But now, if we're not living by those guidelines that religion gives us, we have to have our own sense of morality. And I think that the process of figuring out what that is painful and exhausting, and some people just don't make it to that next
step. So for me, my suggestion when I talk about this at the conferences is check on each other, right? Reach out to your buddy or if you even think something's off, have that conversation. And there's a guy that I worked with who was always in a pretty good mood. And honestly, I thought he was being treated unfairly. I had nothing to do with me. So I could say that I'm an unbiased third party. I thought, God, this guy's getting treated horribly. So I was like, I'm going to go into his office. I went to his office, closed the door. I said, hey, brother, just so you know, if you ever need to talk, call me. Like, that was all that I said. I'm willing to listen. I won't judge you, whatever. And he, oh, yeah, I appreciate that, blah, blah. Well, it was like 2 days later, he called him back in and almost in tears.
Mm.
And he was like, I just want you to know, just you saying that meant a lot to me. That I could reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'm having these problems and these struggles.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's since moved on, same profession, but different area. I shouldn't say moved
he's
on.
Still with
he's
us.
Alive. He's alive. He's with us.
I my breath kind of helped.
Yeah. Whoa. Should have asked a little more. No, but, it meant a lot to him, right? Because he's a grown man in a very hardcore, manly profession, that it was almost in tears just that we could have that conversation.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. Reach out to your people and take care of them. I don't care what your rank is. People above you need help. People your same rank need help. Below you need help. Just check on. Make it. This is what I say: is make it the rule, not the exception, to check on your people.
Yeah.
And yeah, talking about it, I don't think there's anything not mainly of talking about it either. But I mean, obviously, I'm not a man, so I can't say that.
Yeah, watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, so number two under take care of yourself is take care of yourself physically.
Ooh.
Take care of yourself physically.
Gains, baby.
And it's all back. About that thick back, that arms,
thick
back. What?
Pause.
Which I'll say I've done for a long time because that was my coping mechanism. It's like going to the gym.
Yeah.
And putting my headphones in, not listening to anybody, not taking phone calls, not taking texts. And because that's what I was really bad for a while is even in, so that was my time, right? Which is about 2 hours a day where I'm like, just don't bother me. Well, I got to the point people would text me, call me during my workout. Well, next thing I know, I burned 20 minutes of my workout, which affected me because that's my coping thing.
Yeah.
And so now if I'm in the gym, don't expect me to call or answer a phone, right? In fact, my boss texted me the other day, and she's like, hey, where are you at? I was at work. And I said, working out. And it was, hey, can you come up here? And I said, yeah. Can I do it in 27 minutes? I'm done working out. And no problem. She's like, yeah, of course. So I think that was setting that
boundary,
of I need this time to deal
decompress.
With. Yeah, decompress. There you go. And then I'm fully charged and right back at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take care of yourself physically, because there's a lot of connections between mental and physical health. And I think in our profession, we rarely take physical health seriously. We like to say, oh, physical fitness is important at our agency. Listen, here's the deal. That's a lot of lip service for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice would be take it on yourself, because there's nobody above you that is going to push you physically. So do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it for your friends, so that you, not only you're better mentally, but that you can play with your kid. You can, go on bike rides like you were doing earlier with your kids. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think that all kind of falls under that take responsibility, because ultimately if you set those boundaries and say this is my time and this is what I have, you have to be the one that keeps it, because other people, A, don't know that, and B, you're going to continuously try to be in that time, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with the invention of cell phones, you're expected, and this is a recent, within the last 15 years, you are expected to be available at all times. And that is not the reality of how we function as humans. You have to have that downtime. You have to have that disconnect. And you have to be the one that respects that, because other people, A, don't know that you're having your disconnect time, and B, are going to continue to reach out. And so you have to be the one that honors that time. You can't expect other people to honor it for you.
Right.
All right. So number three of take care of yourself is take care of your family. Now, it may sound kind of arrogant and selfish to say, well, take care of yourself first. But my philosophy is, if you can't take care of yourself, then you're not going to be able to help take care of your family.
Right.
So
put your oxygen mask on first, kind of stuff.
Yeah, you got to put your oxygen mask on first. That's a really good point. But so when I was putting this together, I'm like, God, that sounds so selfish. But if I'm not mentally well, if I'm not physically well, then I can't take care of, the SME and then the little one and all these other people. I have to be right first.
Right.
And when I'm right, it helps me take care of them.
Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, really.
Yeah. So I guess, my message too, for my younger guys especially, is when I was working, like the road full time, I was supposed to be off at like 1 a.m. And at 3 a.m. when I was still out working, I wouldn't even send a text that was like, hey, by the way, I'm working late. Because to me, number one was work.
Right.
And looking back, that was so selfish for me to not send a message to go, hey, I'm okay, but I'll just be late.
Yeah.
So be sure that you're keeping your loved ones in mind first. The job's always going to be there. And I had a really good, I don't know if I would call him a good mentor, but he was a mentor. How about that? But he did say one thing that always stuck with me, and it was that this job was here before you started, and it'll be here long after you leave, but your family always won't be.
Right.
And I'm like, God, man, that really hit deep, And I almost blocked it out for the longest time. And then as I become burnt out and started doing this research, I'm like, this dude figured it out. He was 25 years in. He since retired. He's very happy. And at some point, he figured that out. And I didn't take that advice early on. So that would be my advice from him to everybody else, is the job will always be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's what I had to learn about healthcare as well. It was going to be there
If you weren't.
If I weren't, yeah.
All right. We're on number four? Typically we're on number three.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We got sub.
Yeah, we got a couple more. So, right.
Notes.
Yeah.
Sub notes.
So number three, yeah, that was number three of number two. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that was,
a bullet.
Three bullets of two.
Bird needs a visual aid.
Yeah, three bullets of two.
Draw this up.
Did you just put your second Zinni in?
No, I'm sucking this one dry.
I'm not going to lie. This one's knocking me on my ass. Dude. I don't know why. I guess because I took it off for a while. All right, number three. Put your people first.
Ooh. Yeah.
Put your people first. You like that?
I'm about to try to say it at the same time.
And we'll try it again?
Yeah.
Put your people first. Got it. Hey, Smee, edit that in.
Okay. Yeah.
Edit that in that we hit it the first time.
Yeah. Yep.
Nailed it.
So, my thought on this, and even, you know, talking about Smee's thing, but, you know, with the whole, like, payers first. If you don't have a strong culture and a strong team, then you're not going to build a quality product. Mm-hmm. Right? So, the product for law enforcement would be proactively looking for crime. Proactively protecting the rights of people. And your team has to be in the right place and know that you have their back before they can go out and do all these things successfully. Mm-hmm. And then not only successfully, but constantly repeat those, right? Constantly stay at performing at a high level. So I think you have to, you know, put your people first.
I think this one also connects with the taking care of yourself mentally, physically, right? So I think that the agency has a responsibility also to step in and take care of your people as much as possible. And this is always a hot topic, but it is allowing people to work out on duty.
Yeah.
And you start talking to like most administrators about this. And the big thing is, well, it's not really cost. Help me out, Smee. It's like a cost benefit or a cost whatever.
Cost efficient.
Yeah, maybe cost effective, efficient.
It
whatever.
Would be, like they would probably be counting it as non-productive hours.
Yeah, because they would say, well, we're already short-handed. Why would we let a guy work out for 8 hour or 1 hour out of an 8 hour day? Well, that's because he or she would perform a lot better because it would help them mentally and physically. And I also think that you should be able to drive your patrol car to the gym. And one of the guests we've had on here before, the interdiction extraordinaire, has a really good point. And he'll say, we're okay with guys driving to McDonald's mm-hmm. on duty and eating a freaking cheeseburger, but we're not, and spending an hour there for lunch that, by the way, we get paid for.
Yeah.
But we're not okay with that guy driving his patrol car to a gym and working out and getting and bettering himself. Hmm. So you start looking at the benefits from those. Yeah, maybe you're not going to see it on a piece of paper, but if you truly care about your people, you want them to be better. And I think that's where taking care of your people comes in from an agency standpoint is just because it's not going to be on an Excel sheet doesn't mean it's not good.
Right.
All right, number four.
Four.
And this is my favorite one. We have a sticker, we have a patch that say this. And it's my favorite, too, because I was giving a speech not too long ago at a kind of banquet thing, and I said this one. And some of the guys came to me afterwards, and they're like, yeah, as soon as you said that, all the administrators started rolling their eyes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, perfect.
Sweet.
Perfect.
It's hitting home.
Yeah. It's hitting home.
So it landed.
I like it.
And chase cars, not promotions.
Nice.
Right? And let me explain this, because I think everybody's thinking I'm going, oh, just go violate every policy and chase every car that you want to.
Or you're saying that it's bad to take promotions.
Yeah, or that I'm saying it's bad to take, which it's not, right? Yeah. I've been promoted twice. I'm very grateful for mm-hmm. that. I know a lot of people who have recently been promoted that deserve that position. But what we see is that the chase cars part is always work, always be at the kind of the core of the job, right? Never forget the chase cars is you're out working, right? You're with your boys. You're constantly engaged in the frontline efforts, right? But what happens is guys will do that for 2 years, 3 years maybe, and then start to shift. Well, now I'm just going to do things to get promoted. And then once they get promoted, they lose that contact and that connection with what the job truly is, mm-hmm. and because they just want to get promoted. And I know you saw this in the military. We have guys that will put in for a promotion, And we're like, why would you do that? You don't even like that. So let's just say it's like public information. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you're the worst person to talk to the public. Why would you even do that? And they'll say things like, well, you got to get the first one to get the second one.
Yeah.
So they're only taking that promotion just to try to get promoted to a different position later on.
Right.
And that's a completely wrong thing to do. And I say this too, that I think small-minded people will chase a promotion, and full-minded team individuals only take promotions because they feel an obligation or a need to take that to further support their folks.
Right. Yeah.
I know you guys had that in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. We had individuals doing stuff that we'd call like ribbon chasers, just to get a different ribbon.
Yeah, just that's a different way to say it.
Just
yeah.
Ribbon chasers. And I to an extent, yes, I understand that they want to be competitive in the promotion pool. But when you're focusing all on that and not just the what Marines are supposed to do, and just be freaking dogs.
That's it.
Just dogs.
Focus on that.
Yeah, just blowing stuff up, kicking doors.
Kicking ass.
Yeah, and that's all. That's the promotion. If you do that well, if you do the basics and the core of what your job initially started out to be, the promotions come. And, you know,
I agree.
That's just one of those things that now, I didn't give a crap of what belt they thought I was or in McMap. I think I still walked around with the gray belt, and I was technically qualified to be a brown belt in McMap. I don't care.
Yeah.
But by paperwork, they look at that and be like, oh, this guy, he's taking McMap serious.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you, and this is probably obviously changed, if you're having to do hand-to-hand combat in the world that we were in, you did something completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you were absolutely wrong in the situation. If you're having to do big map style martial arts against, you know, an enemy or whatever, if you're having to do that with the technology that we were trained and brought up to be, you're completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, so that's, I'm just saying, like, people focus, they focus too much on doing stuff that the basics was just blow stuff up and be good at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, be good at locating the enemy and destroying whatever you have.
Mm-hmm.
You get away from that, that's all just side notes. But you get good at what you're supposed to do.
Master the basics. Yeah. We have folks, and, well, so I'm not going to name any agencies, but there are folks out there that
exist.
Hey, brother. Fair statement.
There are people who exist in this
world. I like where we're going. That's proof. Knowledge.
But who will focus on, you know, there's all these problems going on with the agency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just fire after fire. And someone will walk by and not salute. And the thing that they address is, well, that guy didn't salute me. So you're telling me you're so freaking hung up.
Yeah.
You're so important that your concern right now is that dude didn't throw up a hand salute. Yeah. Should he have? Yes.
We get it.
Okay? I understand.
Your ego is
bruised.
Right. Whoopty freaking do.
Yeah.
Right? How about we go deal with the real problems first?
I completely agree. There,
right?
Yeah, there's a story. So we had an Ossifer come in straight out of OAS.
OCS? Officer Command School?
Something like Officer School. They went and they pretty much become leadership for infantry battalions and stuff like that, or platoons or whatever. We had a guy that was officer. He took that stuff serious. Hey, you salute that son of a gun lieutenant right freaking now. All right, well, we go out for a patrol base op, just a training exercise. He's like, I'm going to draw up. We get out there. We set up, you know, PV or whatever. We get out there. He's like, I'm going to draw up. And this is just the basics, right? I'm going to draw up mount selection route or map routes so that we can patrol. I'm like, I got it. We get it. I was squad leading at the time. I was supposed to be kind of passing the reins on this towards the end of the 5 year. Like, all right, hey, Sergeant, what do you think about this? So there's a rule, basics. No bright lights in your PV.
right? You only use red lights.
That's what I always say.
I know you're tracking.
Well, we're about to get a sticker on that. No bright lights in your PV.
That's right. And so he would, he kicked on all red light because it's not, you know, supposed to be not as noticeable.
Yep. Yeah, we have the red lights in our cars. Right. Yeah.
I would say. And so he kicks on his red light and I see no map routing at all on his map. And I'm like, sir, I thought you said we were routing some stuff up. So he looks at me and says, the number one rule, and I know the military guys know this, do never draw map routes in red marker. Because he blanked out all of his stuff. He's like, oh. And it's just the basics. So get off of the whole, oh, he salutes me in garrison. Or right. He better salute me because I have a college degree. I get it. We're tracking. Yeah. You're smart. But you ain't smart if you can't do the basics.
Yeah.
And so that was just kind of that's the stuff in that situation that matters.
Yeah, so a military way to say it would be, don't use a red pin, use a black pin.
Yeah, use black pin, or even blue, green, whatever.
There's a lot of different colors out there.
Choose anything but red,
because
the red light just destroys
it. Washes it right out.
Just a quick little story. That was all I had.
Yeah.
Get out of the garrison, go be a dog, go be a Marine. Go out there and, you know,
get that dog.
Be that dog. So, but it's just a funny little story.
Yeah. So there's a leadership quote, and I think it's by Plato, and it says that only those who do not seek power are qualified to hold it. And that's kind of that, I don't want to say reluctant leadership or whatever, but those that are really just dedicated to doing the best at the job that they have currently. So whether that is being a road dog or whatever that looks like.
Dog.
Get that dog in your home. Yeah.
Doing the best and mastering the details being the best at what they're currently doing are usually the ones that are going to make the best leaders, because that seeking of power is usually what causes individuals to prioritize the wrong things.
Right.
I mean, and I would essentially agree with that. I mean, I haven't done any kind of analysis on that, but I mean, that makes sense. The best leaders that I've ever known are the ones that were reluctant to take leadership positions.
That had the dog in them.
Yeah.
They were the dogs.
I want to pile on with something you just said too. Not only taking that power, right? Having that power as a leader, and they seek that, mm-hmm. right? But also hoarding that power. What you'll see is a poor leader will hoard the power. Because and information, because they think that's what truly makes them important in their position. And this happens all the time, where you don't know everything. You're not the master of everything, which is why you have, so let's say that I'm a captain and you have several lieutenants, several sergeants under you. There are people in that chain of command that know more than you do about a specific topic. And I think you need to understand where you're deficient and allow that lieutenant, that sergeant, that corporal, whatever it is, to give them the power to make their own decisions and understand you don't have it, right? And I think too much we look at that, or certain quote-unquote leaders see that as disempowering because they've now given up something that they have, right? That power that, by God, I'm in this position, I'm the all-knowing, all-powerful. But if you dive deep into it, I think you're empowering yourself by giving someone else the authority to make decisions.
Well,
right?
Yeah, your boy Simon, which we're now going to refer to Simon Sinek as your boy.
Oh, okay.
Simon. He says that true leaders are not concerned with who gets it right, but something like that, but getting it right. Like true leaders are not concerned with who gets it right, but
getting it right.
But with getting it right.
Yeah, let's accomplish the goal or the task.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I get the praise for it.
Yes, it doesn't matter if my title, my rank was the solution to the problem.
Which is another thing. Your people should be the ones getting all the praise, by the way.
And they should also be the ones finding the solutions, because they're the ones that know what's going on.
Right, right. And I think that's, you got to understand that at a certain level, you become disconnected with the front line, right? The chasing the cars. Mm-hmm. And the people who are out there doing that, you have to take their advice, their input on policy making, on decision making. But too often, you're so disconnected, you think you know everything and you don't. And until you, I think humility is probably one of the better leadership qualities that we really undervalue. And that is just knowing that you don't know everything. Right? Understanding that you still have to grow, you still have to learn. And for the love of God, take input from the people who are doing the job. Stop thinking that you're the all-knowing, because you're not. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, you guys are really getting me.
I kind of forgot what the question was, but it was chase cars, not promotion.
Yeah, starting to get wound up. Okay, last one.
So to summarize the chase cars, not promotions, it's to focus on being
being
the best that you can be in your role, not on the...
Don't seek power.
Don't seek the power, because it is a game. I mean, it's an easy game to fall into, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because how many times do you hear, well, he drank the Kool-Aid, right? Meaning you have that person.
Ooh, let's talk about Jonestown. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, please. But, you know, you've seen that, where you have a dog, and then they get promoted. Next thing you know, they're like, they're not even the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you do see that a lot. Well, just in those 5 years, you see that in the military, you see they get that promotion, and all of a sudden, they're a whole different person, like enforcing different stuff.
Their priorities have changed, and the people are trying to please.
Yeah.
Well, the people you're trying to please should always be the people beneath you. When I say please, that's a bad way to put it. The people you're trying to serve, should always be the people beneath you.
Yeah.
Too often, we're trying to serve those above us so that we can get, so we can ourselves move up.
Right.
And that is probably the weakest sign of the best sign of poor leadership out there.
Yeah.
Right? It's the weakest sign of a good leader, best sign of a poor leader. So if you want to look at your leadership style, if you're not serving your people, you're freaking wrong.
Get out. What about a new sticker idea? Serve below, not up.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, write it down. Hey, jot it down. Okay. I'll jot it down.
Dude, my
job. That's my job. Sorry.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Kicking ideas.
Just kicking them around blowing. In the studio.
The studio.
Okay.
All right, ready? Last one, number five.
Yep.
And I think just as important as every other one is, this is deep, have fun.
Yeah.
I think we undervalue how much fun is a necessity in the job.
Yeah.
Because if you look at 1 to 3 years is where most people enjoy their job the most. And then at that 3 to 5 year mark is where they hit burnout for the most part. And if you talk about where they lost their fun is right when they hit burnout. So you have to understand what's good, what you enjoy about the job, the profession, whatever it is, and then replicate that. But leadership, we often devalue fun because we think it's horsing around, you know, oh, if you're having fun, you almost feel like you're going to get in trouble with superiorship. So I should be serious. Yeah, okay, just because you're having fun doesn't mean you're not serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, and there's a good quote, I'll see if I have it down on this piece of paper, I may not have that, but where... yeah, here we go. Here it is right here. So this is from Mike Abershaw as well from the book It's Your Ship. The point of having fun with the point is having fun with your friends creates infinitely more social glue for your organization than other things such as stock options, bonuses, and promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So where I work now, you know, we have a pretty solid group of people, but when we're firing on all cylinders, you can tell because everybody's laughing, everybody's having a good time. And when we're serious, where we feel like we're being watched because we're having fun, and I'm not saying violating anything, I'm saying enjoying what we do, that's when we start misfiring.
Yeah.
So I think we really need to put some emphasis on enjoying what you do. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's different ways to do that, but...
Yeah, I like it, though.
Whenever you think you're burned out, you should definitely try to do what Bird said, like, approaching different angles and finding, like, why you love this job in the first place, and then also setting the boundaries around how to cope with the stresses of the job. But it's also okay to completely say, this is not what I want to do with my life anymore. And I think that as a society, we put so much time and energy and effort and sacrifice into our identities as they are defined by our careers, that we are scared to do that. So we cling to positions and jobs longer than we should because we're not having fun anymore. So if you have gotten to that place where you are coping well, you've set those boundaries and you're still not having fun, then I think it's completely okay to say, maybe I need to try something different. But we just don't do that as a society because your identity is so tied to what your career is.
Right.
And I think that's unfortunate, and it locks a lot of people into careers for longer than they should be.
Wouldn't you say that's why the millennial generation gets a bad rap, though? It's because we do not put up with it for very long, and we will leave and go do something else, then that the older generation perceives that as not being
loyal to your organization. They're not even going to, you know, they don't even want to stick around. Well, maybe you haven't treated them right is why they don't want to stick around. Maybe they've tried everything and thought, okay, this isn't for me. I'm moving on. So I think that to a certain degree, maybe we do it better now than we did before, because we do see that constant shift in professions and people leaving different jobs. Millennials specifically, I don't think we have enough information on Zers yet, or the Gen Zs, but I think doing that is perceived as something negative when maybe that's what they need.
Yeah, I think it probably is, because I think that is a lot of how our society was built on, you know, we can say it all we want, but that's just not the truth. Like, as a society, our identities were first defined by our jobs or our careers or our professions. In very few cases, like small town America, you know, that was maybe the occasion. But like, for the majority of the part, you are identified by what you've chosen to do for a job. And I think that as millennials, we're okay with it just being a job, but like a career, and having other things that defined us outside of the workplace. But in previous generations, that wasn't the case. And so I think that that is probably the reality of the situation, but it is 100% to say, like, okay to say, I've done these things, I've addressed my burnout, I've kind of recentered and reflected upon myself, and I'm just not, for whatever reason, having fun anymore. Whether it's my team and I need to look for a different team, whether it's the fact that I feel like I've learned everything I can learn here and I need to, like, leave and to be challenged otherwise, and to me, being challenged is fun, so, like, I'm going to go find something that's fun. Because I enjoy being challenged, and I think it's completely okay to do that. But I think that as a society, it has been looked at because you're just, it's perceived as not being loyal. But in all reality, it's just, I would be providing you a disservice if I stayed here and just went through the motions because I can't have fun. I'm not having fun anymore. I think especially in y'all's career, and maybe not Bert's current career, but his previous one.
I walk around with a tool bag all the way.
Yeah, I mean, literally, if I saw, like,
I am one.
Yeah. If I saw a cat, if I, when I'm thinking cabinet maker, I'm thinking this guy.
Yes, right. Yes, dude. Yeah.
So, hey, but I,
it's my opinion,
I think of some, like, old, like, guy wearing a freaking flannel shirt overalls. With a white beard. Uh-huh, yeah, overalls.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Doug.
Pie.
That's my boy Doug.
That's going to be Bert in like 30 years.
That's going to be me.
He's the last person I'd be like, I don't think I want that guy building the cabinet.
Yeah, I checked out. But I'll do it.
But I mean, in your previous career, the military, and in your current career, law enforcement, and in my previous world, healthcare, like that was...
You don't suffer burnout now.
That's, I know.
Because you've got great...
Constantly challenged.
Great.
Constantly challenged.
Okay, so I forgot about this one. I told you I was going to run an idea by you.
What's that?
So I'm thinking about for Veterans Day this year, because last year I think we had people send us pictures, right? Then we posted them, because yours was with a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 245.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this year, just your thoughts, I'm going to have them send a picture, but to be made into a meme. What do you think?
Okay, so like Bird with his...
240 Brad.
Yeah. You would put a caption, like you would meme it somehow.
Well, yeah, I would probably cut him out of that, so it would just be him doing something. I would make him into a meme.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on that?
So it's going to be his picture, but you're just going to caption it, or you're going to cut the...
Depends what the picture is.
Okay.
So, like, for his, I picture I would cut him out, and then put him in a different background.
Oh, okay.
You know,
but I'd still be holding the
Yeah, he really wants to still be holding the gadget.
I don't know, maybe not.
Oh, sweet.
Maybe
he's going to have something holding there.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
I wonder what could go there.
Yeah, you have to submit the pic, and then with the understanding that I get to do whatever
are
I
you,
want.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well. Are you not going to send it back for, like, final?
No,
okay.
No. You just have to submit it, and then I'm going to post it.
A gamble.
Yep.
Yeah.
Could be cool. Most likely, I'm going to try to roast you.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? You think that's good?
That'd be fun for me.
I think you guys would get down with that.
Yeah.
I think so.
When is Veterans Day?
It's like November or something.
Yeah, I mean,
I
can't remember. I get my freaking...
I'll find it. I'm going to see it.
But last year we waited until like the week before, and I kind of forgot. But that's my idea this year.
November 11th.
Okay. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. I think that'd be funny.
All right. Cool. All right. Final thoughts. All right, Smee. Final thoughts. Liz.
Hear it.
I think it was a good conversation. I have a lot of, I don't want to say passion, but I feel strongly about burnout because I've seen it affect some really awesome people in my life. yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's something that you can't avoid. The ways of the world are to work you to death. This little hippie coming out in me. And so that is how our society rewards, is the work, 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 do society, do. And so you have to protect yourself.
That's from that. Podcasts work 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
Press me.
And say doo-doo on calm.
Yeah.
Yeah, be kidding me.
And so you have to figure out how to deal with that. It's not something that you're immune to. It's something that you just have to figure out how to cope with. And it's different for everybody. So I think talk to your peers, talk to people who are open to that discussion. But ultimately, it's going to be you that figures out what your mix is to combat it. That's it. Good luck.
Birdzilla.
Hang in there.
No, I don't have very much to say.
He's kind of flexing up in that freaking tank right now.
Yeah, are you trying? Yeah, not, you the can, camera's not rolling, dude.
I did biceps today. no, the old FTs. Yeah, burnouts.
He says the old FTs like we say FTs a lot. Or something.
Yeah,
you guys know FTs, right? No, hey, listen, burnout happens. Got to be able to see it coming, see it happening. Adjust your side picture and side alignment. Doesn't work out, don't get down. Find something that you like to do. Have fun. Always have fun doing what you love. Build cabinets.
John, I love building cabinets.
No, I'm just kidding. But,
speaking of, I need some cabinets in our house.
I know a guy.
Okay.
I know a guy.
Doug.
But, hey, love you guys. Grab some merch, grab some stickies, slap it on, whatever. Yeah, and I love you guys, and stay safe.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, so it's going to happen, most likely. Try to pace yourself. Have a plan. I shouldn't just say plan. Be prepared for it. Have something in mind that'll help refill your cup. You're going to get burned up or burned out, but don't get burned up.
Ooh, dog.
So if you need anything, you can reach out to me when I'm in, other than when I'm in the gym.
That's right.
Right, mm-hmm. Not gonna answer. Mm-hmm. But you guys know you've reached out before, and I'm happy to chit chat with you and discuss things. So take care of yourself, mentally, physically, your family, your loved ones first. The job will always be there. And that's all I got. I appreciate you guys listening, and I hope this was somewhat helpful for those of you that have reached out with some my thoughts on burnout and how to get through that. Until next time, appreciate it. Love you. Stay safe and peace.
That's showbiz, baby.